This is the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. The West Coast continues to move slowly toward generating power from the strong winds offshore, which on the West Coast will require floating wind turbines. Where should they go? That's a question explored in recent research out of Point Blue Conservation Science, which examines potential generation sites in California for wind, plus limited impacts on the environment and the activities of people. Two of the researchers join us. Dr. Jaime Yonke is the California Current Group Director at Point Blue. Welcome.
Hello.
Yes.
Thank you for the invitation to be here today.
You bet. Cotton Rockwood is with us as well, the senior marine ecologist with the California Current Group, who led much of the analysis. Welcome, Cotton.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
So, Jaime, just a general view of Point Blue. It's been around since the 1960s. What is the major focus of the organization?
We are a nonprofit based in Petaluma, California. Our mission is to conserve wildlife and ecosystems through science, policy, and outreach. And most of the focus of our research over the last 5 years is into implement climate smart measures to decrease the impacts of climate change on the ecosystem and give species time to adapt to climate change.
And then, so Cotton, what is the starting point for this research? And this is an updated research, we should point out, into potential offshore wind sites. It's not just where the most consistent winds are. Is that right?
That is correct. Of course, one of the most important things and a big challenge in developing offshore wind is to make sure that it's done in the most sustainable way possible. And, you know, we've got a very special ecosystem off the coast here on the West Coast with lots of very important natural resources, as well as a lot of ongoing human uses, fisheries, shipping, other aspects as well. So we really started off this process with trying to understand where the best places were by accounting for all of these different uses and making sure that we're not impacting the natural systems, the species of import, more than is necessary. Of course, offshore wind plays an important role in addressing climate change and emissions, and really can it's important to do this due diligence to develop responsibly.
So it seems like then for all the things you listed, I mean, the list within those lists can be quite long. This is a lot of variables to consider, I would think.
Absolutely. And that was, of course, one of the challenges. We considered over 180 different species in a variety of different groups, seabirds, marine mammals and turtles, fishes, and then benthic habitats, as well as existing human uses. And one of the challenges is that for humans, we're notoriously bad at taking spatial information, visual information, like the distribution of these uses, and just making a judgment call by overlapping those images, essentially, as to where things might be best done. And so our strategy here was to take a more computational approach and really use an established approach to optimization of really where those things can all be least impacted while still, again, producing the most energy possible.
Now, the analysis released in mid-March is an update to an earlier work. Talk about what went into the original and what you've added in this update.
Yeah, absolutely. So the original report, you know, was developing the model and using the existing data at that time to run our optimizations. And since then, we've updated a lot of the input data. There's been some new data that's been available, as well as refining that model to adjust for additional information from the industry and the leases that have now been offered and sold out off of the coast of California. And so this newest release has some analyses that look at how we can target the long-term goals for California's offshore wind gigawatt power production, including if there was development in the leases that have been already offered as expected.
We are talking about wind power offshore in California and analysis of it from Point Blue Conservation Science. Cotton Rockwood and Jaime Yankee are both from Point Blue, and the piece that came out in mid-March is called Using Available Data and Information to Identify Offshore Wind Energy Areas Off the California Coast. Essentially, Cotton, what you're doing here is you're trying to triangulate, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, triangulate or many, many dimensions, in fact. Mm-hmm. And so the idea here is to identify those best locations. And sort of the punchline of what we found was that some of the best areas actually do occur off of the North Coast, sort of off of Cape Mendocino, Punta Gorda area, in the waters offshore there. And that is areas, some of those areas are included in the sea space that was selected. There's a process that's been ongoing for the California Energy Commission to identify the most promising areas, and one of the areas that they identified does include some of those high priority areas that we identified as well.
All right, so areas that have been identified for wind generation, you can conceivably see that yes, there could be good wind generation there and limited impacts on the environment and human activities.
Exactly. It seems like in some areas there are definitely win-wins across the board, and that the California Energy Commission is sort of on the right track in those areas specifically.
All right. Since you're considering impacts on creatures both on, below, and above the water, is it safe to say you know the most about the creatures who live above the water?
Yeah, I think that is probably the case, and also what's known with offshore wind from elsewhere in the world, from developments that exist. One of the biggest impacts is, of course, to seabirds and the potential for collision and mortality from that. And so not only is it a little bit easier to study some of the organisms above the water, but also they may be some of the more important ones to consider in terms of impacts.
To the point of the seabirds that you just mentioned and potential collisions, I mean, how much can we know given that the technology itself is still being perfected?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and it is incredibly important as this process proceeds that we do effective monitoring and really look at what's going on. Lucky for us here, there has been a lot of work elsewhere in the world, and especially in the North Sea and for the UK, there are quite a few offshore winds that have not been operational for quite a while, and they're doing a whole lot to study the effects. So learning from those existing developments and everything that scientists have done there to understand what the impacts are is very important.
Now,
there are technologies. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say it hasn't been that long since the original report, and technology aside, when we come back to talk about the inhabitants of the regions you're studying here, have there been some significant additions since the original report to the body of knowledge about either the places or the inhabitants?
Not since our report, I would say. And this is, of course, a unique situation. We're looking at putting offshore wind in a new place in the California Current. And so there's different species here than there are elsewhere. And there's also, different dynamics in the ecosystem. It's a very, very productive place compared to some other ocean regions. So all those things are important to consider. But there's also definitely lessons to be learned just, more generally in terms of what general groups of seabirds, for example, tend to have effects. And what other aspects to consider. The other novel component is that this is floating offshore wind, which is tethered to the bottom rather than being, actually built onto the bottom of the ocean. And so there are very few operational wind farms that are floating offshore wind. So that's something that's also a little bit new and we need to study in depth.
And how far into detail did you get into things like entanglements, potential entanglements with creatures that would be swimming around the wind farms?
Yeah, so that is definitely an impact that we considered. It's something that there is, of course, concern about and a lot of unknowns in terms of how the floating aspect of this type of development is going to change potential entanglements. In other offshore wind developments elsewhere, entanglements have not been a big problem. But again, this is a different technology in the floating offshore wind. And so we looked at those impacts and the susceptibility of different species to those based on expert opinion. We engaged a whole large number of scientists, asking them to make their best estimate of how severe those impacts are likely to be for different groups of organisms.
We're talking to Cotton Rockwood and Jaime Yonke from the Point Blue Conservation Science, which released a report in mid-March about the possibility of offshore wind generation off the California coast, and looking at ways that those wind operations could set up with limited impacts to creatures that live in the sea and humans that use the sea in those areas. So the areas you were talking about, Cotton, these are already the same zones identified by the Federal Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, or BOEM?
So it does include, our analysis covered actually the whole of the exclusive economic zone. That's out to 200 nautical miles. So we're really looking at a broad area and trying to evaluate within that where is best to develop. And so the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, BOEM, has already leased several areas, and they are looking into offering leases elsewhere. They haven't specifically identified additional areas quite yet.
Mm-hmm. Now, you did mention that you found some areas of Cape Mendocino and Punta Gorda that appeared to show some promise, so potentially a sweet spot where the winds are good and the impacts are less.
That's correct. Yes, there's some good locations there that were regularly selected as ideal locations based on the optimizations that we did. And those areas, I think, within the areas that we found, there's certainly the potential to meet the long-term goal for California, which is to develop 25 gigawatts of power by 2045.
Is that fairly optimistic, you think, 25 gigawatts by 2045?
That's a good question. I think it is potentially optimistic. I think it's also probably doable, depending on the process. It is challenging, of course, to really go through due diligence and come up with good operational and construction plans, which is the process the industry goes through. And of course, there's been on the East Coast some challenges with getting financing and having projects continue as planned. So it'll be interesting to see how it works out for the industry and development and those goals as we go forward on the West Coast.
So as you look at the areas, I mean, are there some trade-offs here? I assume you would have found some places where the wind would be really good for energy production, but too many potential conflicts with sea creatures and human activities?
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's exactly what the optimization process does. It really looks at where we can avoid the most severe impacts and still manage to use the best resource available. And so certainly there are pretty severe conflicts closer into shore where there's a whole lot of biological activity. There's also more fishing activity and other human use activity. There's also some conflicts that we didn't include in some of our analyses that were done in the report. For example, the Department of Defense has critical activities that they conduct off of Southern California, where they more or less have said that it would be very challenging to develop offshore wind there and still meet their needs. So some of those areas, nonetheless, were not selected in our optimization, even though we didn't exclude them. There's also large areas in the National Marine Sanctuaries off of California, which at this point are not open to development. And those areas also were not selected, despite in cases in optimizations where we didn't exclude them, meaning that they are really protecting important biological resources, and it would be highly impactful to develop there as well.
And just a couple seconds left. Where does the analysis go? Who will consider what you put together here?
That's a great question. So we've been working closely with some of the California state agencies and they're going to be taking this information and incorporating it into their plans and recommendations. We are also working and communicating with BOEM to try and get their them to use this information as well as they go forward.
Okay, it's good. It's interesting analysis to see, try to find sweet spots where the energy generation is good and yet the impacts are reduced. It is the work of Point Blue Conservation Science. Dr. Jaime Yanke, thank you for joining us.
And thank you for inviting us today. And please, any questions, there's information on our website. That report is available there as well.
All right. Cotton Rockwood, thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. We'll be back.